Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with my wonderful husband, Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Good morning.
And we are your hosts this morning. We are continuing an in-depth study of the Christ consciousness. Really and truthfully, what we're doing in this study is really discovering who we really are. And we've already established that we have God DNA, that we are the offspring of the energy of God, and therefore that DNA, that energy structure is within us. And if we're bold enough and courageous enough and don't feel, you know, any limitations whatsoever, we can literally declare that we are God. Now, we have to put that in perspective, because this isn't an ego state of realization that we are God. It's not coming from the place of the ego. This is coming from the place of truth. And it requires responsibility in understanding that power. And that's why we talk about consciousness. Where are we in our mind, in our consciousness? Are we being driven by our ego, which is all about fear? Okay, or are we being driven by our higher self, our Christ consciousness, which is really about love? So today we're going to talk about this a little bit more. I hope you stay with us through this series. This is probably one of the most impactful series that we have done here on Circles of Prosperity. And we veered into this topic from the study of the Law of Attraction. And I will tell you that when you discover who you really are and how you were designed, it will literally set you free, and the Law of Attraction goes to a whole nother level for you. How are you this morning, Dr. Reggie?
I'm perky.
You're
and
perky.
And awake. Good to see you in the morning.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I love you, too. So let's go into our morning prayer this morning.
Okay.
Alrighty.
As we relax and take a deep breath in, we are grateful for the energy of breath and life and the foundation of which all of our cells live and survive in our body. We thank you for oxygen and life itself, that we can breathe and control that flow of energy. We thank you that we're always creating. We come from you as a creator, and we're always ideating and creating. We are joint heirs to the Christ throne. We're not just paupers. We are kings and queens, royalty from the highest state that could ever be, beyond this earth and beyond these trinkets that people throw at our feet. We are joint heirs to royalty beyond and the great infinity of who God really is. Our Father, we can say our Father, which art in heaven. We are joint heirs to the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look how powerful we are, how grateful we are to bask in the glory of that power. We thank you that we do have God DNA, and we should use it wisely. Our minds and our words and deeds are the tools to work in this kingdom on earth, making it a literal heaven or hell. It's our choice. Let us choose thoughts that are wise and holy, as the Bible says, and those that are courteous and thoughtful and loving and kind, because our soul will magnify in God's sight. That's who we really are. Let us grow in that place in love, always in love, with self and others equally, and love our neighbors as ourselves. A great commandment, one that should be taken powerfully and with integrity and with intention. And in gratitude, we believe it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. Wow. You know, did you hear that prayer? Oh, my goodness. You know, many of us, I know, grew up going to church and hearing the minister say to you that you are a child of God. And it's, you know, it sounds so beautiful, doesn't it? You are a child of God. But take a moment and really imagine what it would be like to literally be a child of God. It's not just a little phrase that you hear. It really is a truth principle. And we listen with our ears, but I'm asking you to go beyond hearing the word and really breathing on being, as Dr. Veggie said, an heir to the kingdom, to really understand what that means. Because that is life-changing in itself. If you stop and just think about what does that mean, if I am a descendant of this power, this energy force that we call God, what does that mean about me? What does that tell me about who I really am? You know, children that are born and the parents, the birth mother make a decision to let someone adopt that child. Or they may never know their father. They spend a lifetime searching for their natural parents. And whether we realize it or not, we spend a lifetime searching for our true identity. And that's what we call our spiritual path. We know somewhere inside of us that there is something more. And so it's important for you today to contemplate that something more, because who you really are a descendant of the Most High. Okay, so we are taking our lesson from Chapter 5 of Soul Psychology by Joshua David Stone, and he tells us he's giving us a course on how to clear our negative emotions and spiritualize our life. And so I'm going to take you through a couple of sections today of this chapter. They're short paragraphs, and of course, I'm very, very open to you guys asking questions or sharing comments or even your revelations as you listen to this lesson this morning. So all you need to do is call us at 914-338-0590 and press 1 on your telephone keypad. I'm going to start out with a section about two emotions, that there are only two emotions. And you've probably heard this before. The Course in Miracles teaches that there are only two emotions, and that's love and fear. Now, because we are God and God is defined as love, our natural state is love.
Mm-hmm.
But what prevents us from experiencing love all the time is fear, is it not? So all emotions return to this basic core. Fear is of the ego, and love is of the spirit. Love is of the soul. Love is of the essence, the divine essence in you, and it is your natural state. And when we indulge in attack thoughts, then by the law of karma, we operate within our own minds and we're living in fear. And if we attack, we will be fearful because we will expect other people to attack us, which makes us afraid. But here, look at this. If we live in love, then by the law of karma, we expect love in return. And therefore what? We have absolutely nothing to fear.
True.
The Course teaches that when we are attacked, it is really a call for love. We need to see beyond. We need to see through the attack to the fact that the person who is attacking us is really living in fear. And fear is an indicator of a lack of love. So both a lack of self-love, okay, not loving yourself enough, and a lack of allowing ourselves to experience God's love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Now, you know, I had the most profound revelation in Circles of Prosperity about 2 years ago when we first started, and there was only two people on the call, plus me and Reggie, so it was a total of four. And you've probably heard the story if you've listened to us. But Yvonne says, her granddaughter asked her, what is love? And here we are, all of us in our 50s, and except for Dr. Reggie, he didn't say anything. But we were like, yeah, what is love? We never thought about it to try to put it into a definition. And, of course, we were searching for the characteristics of love. We could talk about the characteristics of love, but, you know, love is kind, love is patient, you know. Those are qualities of love or characteristics of love, but does it really define love? And I immediately was in prayer. What is love? What? Please explain to me what that is. See, that's another thing, that we walk through life and we hear the word love, but have we actually contemplated what is love? So, in that moment, God revealed to me that love is no resistance. In other words, you are able to accept everything just the way it is. You're not trying to manipulate it. You're not trying to control it. You're not placing a judgment on it. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Amen. It just is.
Yes.
And think about it. If there is a tiger in front of you and growling and about to lurch upon you, and you stand there and say, this just is. You're not emanating fear, are you? It just is. If you go see the movie After Earth, there's a scene where the young Will Smith's son is on a trek, and he faces a lot of challenges, and there are a group of, they were baboons or chimpanzees, I don't know, because these are evolved animals, but they were in that family. And his father is instructing him to be still. But the son is overrun with fear and lashes out at this animal. But his father says a most powerful statement right then. He said, when he's telling him, don't move, be still. This is your creation.
Wow.
This is your creation. He's teaching him, number one, to be in the moment. Number two, he's be still. He's like, he's saying, don't emanate fear. This is, and you're creating the experience right now. Don't put the resistance here. Center yourself in knowing who you really are. It's a powerful lesson. And then, of course, we see him running. He jumps, and he's so consumed with fear, his father is saying, stop running, stop running. There's nothing chasing you. Stop running. But he's so consumed in his fear that he's gone beyond reason. No resistance puts us in alignment with that divine energy within us that's called God, which is expressed as love. Gnaw on that one today. Gnaw on that one today. Okay, so let's talk about the past and the future versus the eternal now. I love that. One of the profound realizations I had in studying A Course in Miracles was understanding what the past and the future really are. Think about the past. What is it? What is the past? It's, the past is a memory. Okay, so now what is a memory? A memory is an image in our minds. Now let's break that down. What is an image? An image is what? An image is a thought. So what this means is that the past is totally under our control, for it is nothing more than images equaling and meaning thoughts that are in our mind. And the same applies to the future, because the future is nothing more than thoughts and images that are in our mind. And they are of a positive or a negative nature, which determines whether we are worried or excited. So, which determines, so this means that our future is totally under our control, does it not? Many times I've said to you, your words and your thoughts create your reality. And it's totally under your control, because what you're experiencing is based on those images that you've seen. If you are carrying around with you past hurts, when you think about what happened to you when you were a child, you see the pictures in your mind, which are the images in your mind of what happened to you when you were a child. You're expressing it. You are creating it right at that moment, again and again and again. That is called being locked in a time warp. All that really exists is now. We no longer have to be victimized by our past or by a worrisome future, because it is all within our own mind. The proper attitude toward the past is to gain the golden nugget of wisdom from the mistakes and from what we have done well. Bring forth the positive memories that we choose to keep, and then release the rest. So in terms of the future, The proper perspective is to create a plan for the future that serves us and then leave the rest to God. Listen, Edgar Cayce said, why worry when we can pray? Why worry when we can create? And I would add to this and say, why worry when we can pray, own our personal power, and do affirmations and visualizations to attract everything that we need? And you know what? This is the number one thing. This is Circle for Prosperity boiled down to a nut. I could get on here and say this statement once a day, and that would be the lesson. And here it is. I've already said it today. God is in you and created you with all the tools necessary to have whatever you need or desire on planet Earth. All you need to do is hold an image of that which you need in your mind, declare it with your words, and it will manifest. Abracadabra. As I speak it, I create it. That is it. That's the end of it. And the Bible even tells us, if you can do that without worrying, without being fearful, without wondering if it's going to happen or not, Abraham Hicks says, if you can hold that thought for 68 seconds, you're going to have manifestation. Wow. Hold a pure thought for 68 seconds without resistance, which we know is what? Love, right? So if we hold it in love without fear, see, fear has a whole bunch of different little names like worry, doubt, all that. So if we are just with no resistance to that truth principle, we can manifest anything. That's the principle. He says, in this holy instant, I am Christ, and you are Christ, and we are one with each other, and we are one with God.
Amen.
So remember this. The fall, you know where they said he fell into sin? The fall never really happened. We just thought it did. We have and are. We have and we are everything, for we are God. You see how we can move into the realization that there is abundance, because there's no such thing as lack. Because if you are God, see, this is why it's so important to understand who you are. If you are God, the most powerful force in the universe, and everything that you desire will come to pass, then everything is, you have everything. You are not placed on this planet to lack for anything.
Right.
But it is up to you to move into the reality, into the truth, into your personal power, and understand who you really are and how you should be operating on planet Earth.
Wow.
He says, the prodigal son and daughter have returned home, for God never took anything away. Even if you look at the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, they fled out of their consciousness of guilt. And their misuse of their power. They gave their power away, let's just say to a snake, but they gave their power away to ego. The snake represents ego. That's what their story is about.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up. Listen, before ego took over, they were living in the lap of luxury. Listen, they didn't even have to struggle to get fruit off the tree. The tree would bend down. They said, I'm hungry. The tree said, okay, I'm going to bend down so you can take this apple off the tree. You don't have to climb this tree. I'm here to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And all what that is saying is, in your natural state, when you understand the divinity and how divinely you were created, everything is here on planet Earth to serve you. We are and always have been as God created us. We are perfect and we are Christ. He has just been waiting for us to reclaim our inheritance. What does that mean? Moving into the consciousness and being consciously aware that what you, at this very moment, that you are an expression of God. Ooh, people, I love you. I'm going to take a call right now. Let's see what's going on. Area code 401, you're on the air this morning.
Good morning, Cynthia. This is Erica.
Hey, Erica, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. So I decided to put all these practices I'm learning into a little ceremony yesterday because I was trying to get rid of some very, very old sort of fear, anger feeling that I had, and I was just curious to get yours and Dr. Reggie's take on, at the very end of this little ceremony I did outside with, like, you know, salt and sage, I fainted. And I was wondering what that had to do, why that happened. It was a very, you know, peaceful ceremony, but I just literally blacked out at the end.
Wow.
That you gave a lot of yourself, Erica. You gave a lot of yourself. And by doing so, there's a lot of things that were unresolved issues in that family. And you're trying to bring cohesiveness and love to the family. Don't try too hard, because it's really their path that they're on. You're showing your love to them by a great demonstration of what you're doing. But at the same point, don't exhaust yourself. You overexert yourself. And by fainting, I'm blacking this out. I don't want this experience anymore. I want to lose this. And that's another contribution that you're giving at the same time. Again, don't overexert yourself. Do what you have to do, love it, and then move forward. A lot of times we black out and faint because there's something we don't want to face. There's some hidden thing that we don't want to face or believe. That's what fainting is. As a part of life, there's something we don't want to face, or we refuse to believe it. So as you do all the things you do and giving of yourself, and that's a part of my own understanding how psychology works, and God's psychology at the same time. You're giving of yourself, and when you do that, there's some point in the road that this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening, and you black out because you don't want to have a memory of that, a cell memory, or anything of the soul with that association. So it's not a bad thing. It means that you gave a lot of yourself. And now it's time to self-reflect and evaluate.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering what purpose it served. And I was like, okay, what was the point of passing out?
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you out? Do you know?
I don't. And it was actually quite painful because I was standing next to a piece of really jagged fencing. And so, like, you know, when I went down, I ripped my shirt and, you know, scratched up both my arms and banged my wrist and my chin. And so that's what brought me to. So it wasn't very long. It couldn't have been very long because I think the pain pulled me out of it or something.
Wow.
But I have no memory of, you know. So where does where does your consciousness go when your body crumples like that?
No, your consciousness is always maintained, even out of your body. It's always maintained in your soul. Even though your body may go through a lot of things to remind you as a point of reference for pain and reality, but your consciousness is eternal and undivided. And that's a part of your God self. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays with you. It's with the soul. It's a part of your soul memory. But what happens is when we can't handle something, we faint. That's what seizures are, too. People don't realize what they have. When they pass out, they see something shocking, like if you're married for so many years and the husband's in bed with another woman or another man or somebody else, you freak out like, oh, my God, it's so painful. You go into shock and you faint. So a lot of things are painful from past lives or past memories or cell memories, and you're doing things, and it's family-oriented, and that's why you fainted. But you know what? You learn lessons from these things all the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Okay.
This was a ritual, right, that you were doing?
Yeah, I was just tired of feeling this anger that I felt toward this person. So at the very end, you know, I had called in everybody just to sort of help change this anger into, you know, love and harmony and the whole thing. And I did Ho'oponopono on this person. And then I kind of said, you know, and backward through this life and through other lives and forward into any other lives, you know, just transmute it. And that's, you know, that was it. I got like a high pitch in one of my ears, and that's the last.
Yeah, that's the energy of God. I get that. People tell me that all the time. And the transmuting thing that you're asking for is the flame of Saint Germain, a gift of life, the transmuting alchemical structure of Saint Germain. And all those past lives with this person, to forgive this person, and every part of your cell memory came forth. And in one of them, it was very, very powerful, and it made you lose consciousness. But you regained consciousness, and now you're back to talk about it. So I'm glad you did that ritual to forgive and forget. Hopefully forget it.
Yes, that's what I want.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. I just didn't understand that fainting part. So.
Oh, bless your heart. Well,
that's
we love
more
you,
like, yeah, I love you guys too, and thank you so much for this last year of everything you've taught us.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? We got a bad connection. Hold on one second.
Okay,
Let me hear you talk. Go ahead.
Okay. You know how the whole family was sick? The bird, the cat, my husband?
Right.
And then I got sick yesterday. So I'm thinking that it's some kind of clearing or cleansing here in the house. And I've been bringing up some childhood stuff. You know, little things, but I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, if you're bringing it up and releasing it.
Yes, I am.
Good. You don't need to go back and revisit these again now, do you?
No, I don't.
Good. So the whole house is being cleared. There's been a shift in muscle. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you. We love you.
Love you too.
All right. So Susie's in the house this morning. We haven't seen her. She's online. Hey, Susie, I'm acknowledging you here. Can't type and talk at the same time. You know, I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. And Pam is in the house, and she took her dog, Maddie, to the vet on Tuesday to find out that Maddie has arthritis. And so we're holding Maddie in prayer, Pam. Okay. Let's move on. Let me try to finish up one little other section, because he's got a bunch of little small sections here. So here's another thought for the day. The two most important relationships in our lives, guess what they are, Dr. Reggie? It's our relationship to ourselves. That's number one. And our relationship to God. And in actuality, and this is Joshua Stone saying this, in actuality, our relationship to self is even more important than our relationship to God. Because if we are wrong with ourselves and we allow ourselves to be run by the ego, then we will project this wrong relationship to self onto everything in our lives, including our relationship to God. So this lack of a right relationship with self is the cause of the angry Old Testament God. It is also the cause of concepts such as original sin, the idea that we are lowly, sinful worms, and the judgmental and self-righteous qualities of some fundamentalist religion. But this is what happens when the negative ego is allowed to interpret scripture. Okay? It is like the game of telephone played for over 2,000 years. The masters, such as Jesus and Muhammad and Moses, said one thing, and over the course of the next 2,000 years, their disciples, who were not at their level, have completely distorted what they said originally. And so there is no judgment in this. We're not making a judgment. This is just a simple statement of fact. And here's the thing that I want you guys to understand. You need to read and interpret these scriptures or even the books, these books by enlightened people who have been on the spiritual journey that are searching and discovering things. Because I don't think everything ended with the Bible. People are still experiencing a spiritual path and spiritual enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to share it. They want to share the experience, and they write wonderful books like this one that we're coming from. But you need to listen and with your heart and accept what resonates with you, because this is your personal journey. And see, I don't think that there's any limitation to the ways that we can find to understand who we are and our relationship with Source, God, the universe. We can do it through science, we can do it through math, we can do it through the Bible. There are many, many, many paths. And you know, it almost makes sense, because if that energy that we call God, Source, Universe, created everything, why could it not express itself through numbers? And if you think numbers have no significance, if you read the Bible, it's always filled with 40 days, 40 nights. It means something. 7 days, 7 nights. Seven this, seven that, means something.
12 disciples.
12 disciples means something. Go to mystery school. You want to know the meaning? Go to mystery school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's just been a distortion of these messages that have been left for us, this deep wisdom that has been left for us. But we are equipped with our emotions and our intuition, where when we hear truth, we know that it is truth. It may take you a lifetime, but you will uncover the truth, and the Bible tells us the truth will set us free. So let's talk about attachment. This is my last section for today. We're going to talk about attachment versus preference. Okay, the negative ego causes us to become attached to everything. Now, you know what? I'm not going to What do you guys think attachment means? Can anybody press 1 on your telephone keypad? Let me know. What do you think that means, attachment? What's the source of attachment? Okay, so Brenda in the chat room says it means word. What does that mean, Brenda? Word. Attachment. Let's think about the act of being attached. If you think about the act of being attached, what do you think motivates you to want to be attached?
Car, house, jewelry, money.
It has to come. I'm sensing that attachment is coming from fear. Can any of you guys relate to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I love this. She says, parasite. It's fear. You're holding on to it for something that you're afraid of. Attachment. We even do it with people, with relationships, with, and that's coming from, not from a security, a space of, it's coming from a place of fear. Can you guys, are you guys relating to me? Brenda, I see you got it, girl. Go ahead. She's talking about security and insecurity. All righty. So let's go through this very quickly. One of the basic, all suffering comes from our attachment. That's what Buddha said. What he is saying is that if we give up all of our attachments, we no longer have to experience suffering at all. It isn't anything external that causes the suffering. It is our attachment, which is like an addiction to outside things that causes our suffering. Stop and break that down. Hallelujah. Break it down. Spirit guides us to have preferences rather than attachment. An attachment is an attitude that causes us to get depressed or angry or upset if our expectations aren't met. You know, Abraham says that many people, like your parents, have been here for so long and they're so misguided at this point and caught up in, this not understanding who they really are, that they are looking to you. You have to act a certain way in order to make them happy. Okay? And then when you don't, then there's disappointment. This is pretty much what he's saying. Oh, my God, we got 90 seconds. I can't finish this up. I'm so sorry. This is a good lesson, too. Well, we'll pick it up tomorrow. How about that? And you guys join us tomorrow? Will you do that? Share it with your friends. Let them know. Please go on Blog Talk Radio and follow us so that you can. And go to our website at circlesofprosperity.org and join as a member. Keep up with what we're doing. And, of course, we're on. I'm going to ask Dr. Renzi to take us into our closing prayer.
Thank you, Father, for a dynamic and profound lesson, letting us know that there is no such thing as attachment, because they're illusions anyway. They're not real. The only thing that's real and that will last is you and our word, standing on the premise of eternity with a leading edge. Let us love and laugh and give and receive with humility and gratitude. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. See you tomorrow, guys. Bye.